My message today, the title perhaps is The Generosity of God. Could be the love of God, but we call it the generosity of God. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, I don't know if you can go, there's people here at different ages. We've got some young ones there. And when you're young, you might have hopes, dreams and visions, and I don't know how big your hopes are. And I know that there'll be many around the world in the coming weeks will be watching the Olympics, and they'll be thinking, oh, I wish I would love to be doing that. And that it might even spark some off and think that that's what I'd like to do. And some, it will spark them and they will get there, won't they? And they'll be, I've been watching the Tour de France and I'm past it now. But there'll be some watching it and they'll think, yeah, I want to do that. I want to achieve that. And different things, it could be, I want to be a pop star, a film star. You know, there'll be that. That's the extreme, perhaps, of what people think. And I don't know what you thought when you were younger, and you don't have to tell me what your hopes and visions and dreams were when you got older, as you grew. And I wonder how many of you actually achieved what you wanted to achieve. Did you actually get there, or did things come in the way that stopped you achieving those hopes and dreams and plans? It may have been, I just want to get to university and get a higher education. Did you do that, or did something get in the way and stop you doing that? And what can get in the way of us fulfilling those plans that we have? Any suggestions of things that can get in the way that stop us achieving those plans? Finances is one. Yeah, that's quite a big one actually, finances, because some people now won't go to university because they think, I can't afford it. Yeah, lack of motivation, having children, lots of things, can't they? Lots of things can get in the way of our hopes, our plans, our dreams. And sometimes our dreams are a bit wacky, you know, that's if your name's Dave. But we do have these things. And in a way, these things just keep spurring us on. But as we get older, we, as it says in Caroline's thought, perhaps we look back and think, oh, if only, or maybe, if not, you know, and we look like that. And as we do things, and as we go through life, things can help us and things can thwart us. Anyway, and when I was out street pastoring, not last night, but a month ago, I was asked, what do you get out of it, by someone on the street, a young man on the street, what do you get out of it? He said, if I was doing this, I would only be doing it if I was getting something out of it. If I got something out of it, I wouldn't be out here on the streets if it wasn't for me. So he asked me, you know, he asked a few of us this question, didn't he? And, you know, it's a very good question. It was an honest question. And he was being very honest with us because he said, I wouldn't do something for somebody else unless I was getting something out of it. And then it got us thinking. And generosity is giving without having to receive. It's quite a tough one, isn't it? When we go out on the when I go out on the street, I do find it hard, and it has to be for God's glory, because I could say I don't actually, I don't mind when I'm out there, but the thought of it is quite tough. I think of it as a sacrifice. That's how I think of it. I don't think of it as a pleasure. I don't get a lot out of it. So I think of that as giving in that sense. And big companies give, but they often give because they'll get something out of it. They give for sponsorship. You know, they give so that but their name can be seen. So they give a lot of money so they can be seen. Advertising, good publicity, and tax relief. You know, often they're giving, but they are getting a lot back. And there's nothing wrong with giving for a reason. What's wrong with that? You know, if you're helping someone, but something comes back for you, get a bit of advertisement. But God gives because he is love. God gives from himself because he is love. He gives out of love. And it's sometimes hard, like this young man on the streets, it's hard to understand this generosity of God. When you think about it, you think, but why? What do you get out of it? What does he get out of it? What's all this? You see, the generosity of God, it's sometimes hard for us to understand. And, even as disciples, we need to sort of understand this generosity because we are to be Christ-like. We need to follow his way. And we need to understand this generosity that God has. And God gives many things to us. He gives gifts to the church. He gives you life. He gives us breath. He gives us good things. And, if we can think to what we have, we should say, thank you, Lord, for all that you give me. Thank you for the good things that you have given me. And, when I prayed at the Friday meal, I'd been thinking on this, and I thought, people need to understand that the good things that we have are gifts from God, aren't they? It's his generosity that has given what we have. And I'm just going to read a story to you from the Bible. And sometimes we call it the prodigal son. I'm going to call it the love of the father, because I think the prodigal son doesn't really explain the story. It's a muddled sort of title, really, I think. I don't know. It's Luke 15 from verse 11. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. God, let me just pray and then I'll have a look at this. Father, we just thank you for your generosity. We thank you for your love, your kindness, and your grace, Lord. We just pray that these words now will penetrate our hearts, Lord, and help us understand something more of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is talking really about God the Father. And God is generous. He's generous to mankind. Everything good has come from God. God has given us life. God has given the church. And he's given us, each one of us individually. And in this story, as I thought about it, I thought, how could I update this story a little bit, you know, for us? And I thought to myself, you know, imagine your child or someone that you know really closely. And they come to you and they say, oh, Dad, I don't know, I'd like to go on a big tour. I'd like to go somewhere. And you say, oh, it's going to cost a lot of money. And so you sort of either borrow or remortgage your home and give them $30,000 for their plans. And off they go, and they disappear, and you don't hear from them. And you've remortgaged, and you've taken out a big debt, $30,000 debt, and off they go. And you check in your post, you don't hear from them. You check your emails, you don't hear from them. All the time you're hearing nothing from them. You watch the street to see if they suddenly turn up, but they're never there. All the time waiting for them, and nothing. And then one day, well, I have to try and put it into a modern way, but one day you get an email. Ooh, says, out of money, want to come home. What is your response? Do you say, what happened to that 30,000? Or do we say, oh yeah, I'll buy tickets. You can be at the airport today and you come home now. What is our response? Because I'm trying to make it, you know, modern. We probably, well, what have you done with that 30,000? I'll give you 30,000. Where have you gone? What's all that about? Isn't that's more likely where we'd come from? And then we get him home, and then we say, what do you do with all that? You know, we'd be questioning. And I've tried to bring it, because we read the Bible story and we look at it and then it's a nice story and sometimes we think, oh yeah. And I thought about it and I thought, the son asks for his inheritance, just asks for his inheritance. And it wouldn't have been very normal in that society to do that. But God is just saying something of his, and we don't hear much more of that. We don't hear the young man say, because I want to go and start my own business up. We don't hear the young man go to say, I'm going to buy my own farm and start my own enterprise. Or maybe I want to go to distant lands to see what Lebanon is like and all this. He just says, I want my money. And the father graciously gives him the money. He knows it's going to be his one day, so he gives it to him. And we in our judgment, what do we think of that? We might think, yeah, it's a bit wasteful, isn't it? A bit silly. Not very smart father. You know, that's how we'd look at it. We'd be all questions and everything, yeah? But this is just showing the generosity of God, and we don't always understand it, do we? And as we look at it, it's very hard for us to understand the grace and generosity of God. And when Jesus spoke this story to he was speaking to the Jews, the chosen people. I believe the message is on a few levels here, because he was speaking to the Jews. They are the chosen people of God, right? So they were special to God. But what he was telling them, that God's grace is going to extend to the Gentiles. And would they be able to cope with that? There's something in there that's saying God's plan is bigger than just you. It's going to be to the Gentiles. We're the Gentiles, by the way. Unless there's any... anyway. God's plan is for everyone. And will you be able to cope with those people who aren't chosen? He was talking to the Pharisees, the lawgivers. They were very hot on all that. But he's also talking to us as well, and to the church individually. As individuals, how do we cope with God's great, his goodness, and that he saves other people? And can we cope with him saving that person or that person? It's very hard for us to cope with it sometimes. And when we look at it, you know, we have to understand that God, and we do struggle with God, you know, the Father giving this gift away. But we only see things partially. We don't see the full plan. God sees a full plan. We see things partially. And as I thought, I thought of a little scenario myself. Now imagine you're traveling on a bus. You're on a bus. It's quite a full bus. And you see this old lady get on. And you're sitting at the back and you're just watching everything that goes on. And this old lady gets on. And you see someone get up for this lady. You think, oh, that's nice, isn't it? That's good. Or you might see someone, a lady get on with a big bump. Pregnant lady. And you see someone get up and you think, that's good, isn't it? That's good. That's generous. That's nice. Or a pretty girl. Maybe some young man will say, oh yeah, okay, I'll get my seat for you. You know, da-da. The motives, you check the motives here. You know, some things good, some things are. We see this and we think that. But what if we saw an old lady sitting on the bus and we saw this hoodie get on the bus? He comes on and he walks up to this old lady and you see a few comments going on, but you can't hear anything. You just see something happen. And then you see this lady get up and this hoodie sit down. Let's call it that. What do we think? What's our going on in our head? And what's he said to her? What? He's bullied her. What's he done? What's going on? That's our thoughts. But if we were told that she is his nan, and he's come out of hospital and he's having treatment for leukemia, and he's very tired, and he's got up for him to sit down, that changes everything completely, doesn't it? Then we accept it completely. There's a complete change in our thinking from going, getting it all indignant inside, to suddenly going, oh, that's good, isn't it? She's going to look after it. And we find out that she's taken him home to care for him. Complete twist. And we don't always see the full story. We see half a story. We just see that youngster coming on with his hood on, because he's all bald, you know. He's perhaps just covered up. He's cold. And we don't see the full picture, do we? And we don't always see what God's plans are. But we're just told that he is a generous God. And that... And we have to work within this understanding. And it's not always a full understanding. And we are told that we see things like through a glass darkly. You know, we don't understand everything. And we just have to keep going and trust that this God is a God of love and a God of generosity. And we should try and learn from this story. And, you know, we can, when we look at this story of the Father, the generosity of the Father, the Son who goes off and packs up his bags, takes all his money and goes off and parties. Now, we're not told a lot. Maybe he went off with good intentions. And then he sort of hit, you know, there's many people who will go off to university with good intentions. And then they go off to the parties and that, and they blow their education. There'll be many like that. There'll be many that just take a wrong turn in life and they messed up. We don't know. But this young man goes off with all his wealth and blows it. And we have three scenarios here. And I think we can learn, try and understand from each one. We have the father. We have the son who goes off and parties and blows it all. And we have the son who stays behind. And what we can see from the father is a generous father. You know, when you said one of the things that would stop you getting on is money, the father might have thought, yeah, well, I'll take a chance on this son. I'll give him money and see if he comes good on it. And God gives us gifts. And he says, there you go. See what you can do. And God takes a chance with us. He takes a chance with us, God does. And he says, there you go. Off you go. There's the father. But the father is always, he's always hoping for the best for his son. He hopes that one day his son will come back. The father is always on the lookout for the son. And what about the son that stays behind? The son that stays behind becomes very angry, doesn't he? Very bitter, resentful. That's the son who stays and works. And we don't want to get caught up in that, do we? That, why would God bless that person that's wasted it all? You know, the son sees the waste of the brother, and he even disowns him because he says, that son of yours, talking to his dad, disowns him. It's not my brother. He doesn't say my brother. He says, that son of yours. He disowns him in the way he talks. I want nothing to do with him. And the son, he gets very envious of God's blessing, because actually, this son, in this case, he'll still have his money. He's always had the opportunity of the blessing, but he resents that son going off and spending, wasting his. It wasn't his money, though. It was his father's money, wasn't it? It was his father's money that he wasted, but the son gets very angry with him. The son gets bitter. And we don't want to let things that actually don't impact us too much make us bitter. And we need to learn to live with what God has given us and live within it. You know, God has given us stuff. And we need to live with what God has given us and enjoy it. And not look at that one. Because this is the brother gets bitter because now he's looked at him and he says he doesn't deserve it. But he hasn't changed his own position. The brother hasn't lost his position, has he? He's not lost anything. Nothing's changed for him. Nothing's changed from the day before to now, except his brother's returned and there's a party going on. But his position hasn't changed one bit. Nothing's changed for him. Only that he's just seen the love and generosity of his father. Nothing's changed otherwise. He's still the same. He's still out working. He still can eat well. He can still see his friends. Nothing's changed for him. And yet now he's suddenly gone all nasty and bitter inside because his father's showing great love. He didn't understand the father's love. The brother didn't. He couldn't get his head around the love and generosity of the father. And what about the younger son? The one who got the money, who goes and blows it at the party. What about him? We can learn from him, can't we? We can learn that when the son goes off, he wastes it all, but he changes his direction in life. He examines himself. He repents. He thinks, I've made a mess of this. And he turns his direction. He's going this way, walking away from his dad. And he turns and walks back to his dad. That's repentance. Turning. If we turn our back on God and walk away, that's your normal people. If you turn back and walk towards God, and it can be a journey because he's a long way off. He has to come to it. It says he has to come to his senses. He has to take a decision. And he says, I'm better off with my father, even as a slave servant. And he heads back. And the father reinstalls him, puts a cloak around him and says, welcome. But just experience is important. And the son gets a lot of experience from this. He experiences wastefulness. Well, We don't have to all go out and do that. But what do you think the son, when he comes home, he's had to deal with pride. He's recognized, actually, he was in a good place before. It was a better place than he ends up. He's done his own thing. He's been selfish, self-centered. And now he's thought, but I would be better there. I was better there. And it's kind of made, it's given him a bigger picture. And then he goes back and God accepts, his father accepts him back, puts a ring on him, cloak, sandals, says, you're my son, come back. What do you think that does for the son? The son, yeah, the son is in a much better place than the other son. The son that's messed up, but now he understands love. He'll understand love from that side. How do you think that son, who's been away, how do you think he treats the servants around him now? I wonder how he treated them before, when he was just the son of the... How would he treat them now that he's actually gone through it all and he's actually had to feed the pigs and that? I bet he treats them with a lot more respect than he used to. I bet he treats everybody with a lot more respect. He has a fuller repentance, and he's in a better place than he was before. And so God's generosity to us is amazing, and it's there for all. Whether we've not gone crazy off the rails, but we've all sinned and we've all failed, and there's always a place to go back to him. And for those that we know of, we mustn't give up hope, because the Father doesn't give up hope. Keep hoping and praying for those that we know. You know, we mustn't give up hope on them. And those that we know around us, let's not give up hope on them. That's the Father's position. He never gave up hope. He always wanted to encourage, but he always didn't give up hope. And let's not be like the brother who is, becomes bitter towards, because of the love of God. The love of God is bigger than we can understand sometimes. Let's be like the son who has a better understanding of God's love, God's graciousness, and is able to, I would say, from that position on, treat people with that love that God has. He understands God's love after that position. I just take that with you. We can take something from all those, and I'll just close with prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to understand your generosity. Help us to understand your love. Help us to understand your insight, Lord. And help us not to be bitter like the elder son. Help us to appreciate the position that we find ourselves in as the, and not take it for granted like the older son, Lord. Help us, or like both sons did, took it for granted, Lord. Help us to appreciate all that you have, Lord. Appreciate the gifts that you have given us. Appreciate the love that you pour out on us, Lord. Help us to appreciate all that you have given us. Help us to appreciate that it is you who saves and not we who save. And Lord, help us to treat others like the father and like the younger son would now. Help us to put into place all that you have, Lord, and understand all that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.